We learn from the appearance of Christ on earth after crucifixion that death is the denial of Christhood and transition is the acceptance of Christhood. As God always lives, Christ always lives. Accepting your own Christhood is the beginning of your transition. Accepting the Christhood of all mankind is the secret of grace. And again we underline the Christhood of all mankind is the secret of grace and of eternal life. On page 87, A Living Between Two Worlds, Joel makes this quite clear. He writes, our individual fulfillment comes about in proportion as we become consciously one with Source, and that oneness is represented, expressed in our relationship with one another. That's quite a twist to it, isn't it? I'll read it again. Our individual fulfillment comes about in proportion as we become consciously one with Source, and that oneness is expressed in our relationship with one another. You remember how John said it? In his first epistle, if a man say, I love God, and he hateth his brother, he is a liar. And then Paul had another way of saying it. He observed that we are all joint heirs with Christ. Joel, John, Paul. All declaring the divine law of oneness. Pointing out that oneness means one divine self and no other being. No God and Christ. They are one self. Oneness means that there is no God and a mortal race. No Christ and a mortal race. Oneness means that Christ is the hidden identity of all mortals, and that God is the hidden identity of Christ. Oneness means there may be 5 billion human beings in form on the earth, but one universal spirit is the same reality for all. Long before crucifixion, Jesus identified as Christ, who had overcome the world. And he meant, I have already overcome human death. I have overcome human life. I have overcome the belief that God has an opposite. I have accepted the allness of God. I love God with all my heart, soul, and mind, and body. And I love my neighbor as myself. Christ Jesus accepted God as the only being in the universe His oneness as that one being was the key to His mission and His ministry. And He never yielded to the temptation of an identity on earth for Himself that was not the indivisible, invisible Spirit of God the Father. Many students, though dedicated, have failed to achieve the principle of grace in daily life because they do not practice the principle of oneness for all. They make exceptions. I sought the fruits of my kingdom without attaining my kingdom. They have sought paradise but have not submitted to Gethsemane. They have sought better health, financial stability, protection, companionship. But the fullness of grace has eluded them because without realizing it, they have violated the law of oneness. And all of that stems from not understanding the infinite divinity of every man, whether saint or sinner. You cannot violate the law. Call one man a thief, and you have lost your Christhood. And with that, you have lost your grace. Please take this to heart and overcome it. You have a need. You are denying your infinite divinity. And if you are not Christ who needs nothing, you are nothing. If you are Christ, you already have everything, though you see it not, including perfect, infinite, eternal life. Grace is not the seeking for things or better conditions. Grace is the acceptance of infinite divine identity. And that makes you the only self in the universe. The quicker you learn this principle, the quicker you will be resurrected from the dead, from the mortal human race. Mortal man always lives and struggles between two worlds. But Christ lives in the kingdom of God, under perfect government of God. Christ lives by the grace of God, not by personal will, not by personal needs or personal ambitions. Divine consciousness replaces human consciousness, and a divine creation is made manifest where the material creation, with its many limitations, has seemed to be. What a difference between man of earth, who has only his own mind and experience upon which to draw, and that man who has access to the Christ consciousness and the spiritual wisdom of the saints and sages of all time. Says Joel, God has given us its divine consciousness, and through our access to it, it becomes the bread, the meat, wine, and water. Joel is speaking about the same divine grace that Jesus referred to when he revealed the secret of his miracles. The Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. That divine, transcendental consciousness in every man, which has the power to manifest God's creation on earth, perform the Christ miracles that astounded the world. Gautama the Buddha also showed forth that same experience, that same divine consciousness, and changed the face of Asia. Paul the Apostle, who never even walked in person with Jesus, reached into the invisible for that transcendental power and proclaimed, I live, yet not I. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. In our human consciousness, life is a series of hazards. Farmers commit suicide, God-loving countries sell weapons to a terrorist, gang wars terrorize cities, hate, greed, hypocrisy tear up the Ten Commandments, missiles replace divine law. The whole human race surveys its problems through a glass darkly, wondering when, where the next crisis will fall. So if you find yourself at the bottom of a well without a ladder, wondering how you can climb out, if the odds seem insurmountable. If personal circumstances have narrowed your life down to one disappointment after another, please take a long look at Paul's announcement to the Philippians, chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, because that is the same power of God in you. Divine grace, says Joel, page 90, can appear as our nets filled with fish, even though a moment before the sea seemed to be empty of them. Divine grace does not give us anything of or manufacture anything for us. Divine grace appears as. It is never divine grace sending something or giving something. It is divine grace forming itself as our daily need. Isn't that a deep statement? But doesn't it reassure you? That the miracle of Christ accepted, lived in, can form itself as the fulfillment of your daily need. Please remember, Paul and Jesus were not fulfilling their own personal will. They were not telling the invisible Christ what they wanted. And when they wanted Christ to do it. I don't recall having heard Jesus say, God, I could cover a lot more ground if you would furnish me with a helicopter and a pilot. I don't think he ever requested a telecommunication system so that he could keep in touch with his students instantly. And yet, when he needed transportation at sea, grace provided it. When he needed instant communication, grace also provided it. As in the case of the nobleman's dying son. Christ always provided an instant and universal network which connected the spirit of Jesus with the spirit of all men. Joel speaks about this constantly. The universal network which performs God's grace for all who dwell in Christhood. Page 93. If we keep the principle that a divine consciousness is our individual consciousness, and secretly, and if we practice it consciously, such miracles will take place in our lives as we ourselves could not begin, could not believe possible. Now, if you think of Christ as an individual separate and apart from yourself, you lose the Christ teaching. Christ is your spiritual self. Drawing the attention of man by manifesting through Jesus, demonstrating the non-power of matter in the presence of Christ, the power of Christ over all things, and finally demonstrating that in the presence of Christ, consciousness, the limitations of man of earth are broken, transcended, even in the appearance of death itself. Life replaces the appearance of death, because I am come, that ye may have life, and have life more abundant. As this liberating Christ consciousness is truly available to all men, it is available to any individual, regardless of his station in life, the moment he learns to open his soul, which is the home of Christ. Again, speaking from individual experience, Joel says, regardless of our present state of sin, disease, poverty, or enslavement, we have access to infinity through our own consciousness, because the transcendental is present with us, and the realization of this truth must immediately begin to set us free. Key word there is realization. When your brain says, I understand, do not confuse that with realization. Your mind does not have the power to realize Christ. False prophets will promise you many rewards on both sides of the veil. They'll offer you material rewards, salvation, divine privileges in heaven. But God's grace will never flow through a man who lives in mortality or dies in mortality. God's grace flows only through Christ. All material concepts of grace fail. Grace to improve your human selfhood is non-existent. Grace is God's gift to the living Son of God, the incorporeal Christ, the infinite Christ, the eternal Christ. And if you want the miracle of Christ to appear on earth in you, through you, then you must be the Christ. You must lose your life to gain it. Because straight is the gate that leadeth to life. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the flesh, of the body, ye shall live. This is Paul telling us to gain our immortality by losing our mortality. And you don't lose your mortality by complaining about what's wrong with it. Do you hear that? Complaining about what's wrong with your mortality is not the way to lose it. Paul was saying that even though oneness with God is the key to eternal life, man can never be one with God. Matter can never be one with God, with spirit. Corporeality can never be one with incorporeal God. Finitude can never be one with infinite God. And neither can temporary life be one with eternal life. That leaves one solution, doesn't it? And that solution, unfortunately again, is foreign to most of the religions of this world. It's foreign to the world of science, the world of philosophy, the world of sociology, the world of psychology. It's foreign to all of the physical and mental sciences on earth. That solution is self-sacrifice. Mortal, physical, corporeal man must recognize that he is a branch cut off from infinite God, separated from the life-giving source of life, waiting for something he can never receive, and he must recognize that his separation from God is the cause of every limitation, the cause of his ultimate death. He must recognize that his only connection with God is through his own Christhood. And he must recognize further that he cannot be both corporeal man who dies and Christ, who lives at the same time. One must go. If he waits until corporeal man dies, it's too late to realize Christhood. Reincarnation then becomes a necessary thing to learn again what he failed to learn. Vain, corporeal man is shut off from the grace of Christ because corporeal man has a problem in the absence of Christhood. Only Christ can solve the problem. Today, corporeal man prays for divine help, but he's cut off from divine grace, of his own Christhood. He still does not know that man has access to God only through his Christhood. He still does not realize that death is not the creation of God, because God is the creator of life. And Finally, the question arises, how do we attain Christ consciousness? How can we live as Christ? Why do so many dedicated souls fail to attain their Christhood? Why do persons who devote their lives to finding Christ stumble into human pitfalls when they have one single point of desire, and that is to know the love of God, the truth of God, the wisdom of God? Let's take a look. Take a look at page 90. 90. And please hear these words with your soul, not your mind. Or you will only hear the surface of a very deep truth. Quote, to move in consciousness for man of earth, who is entirely limited to himself, mentally, physically, financially, to being that man who has his being in Christ, we must know this truth. Divine grace lives my life, and I live as a beholder of the glory of God. It is the glory of God that appears as my soul, my mind, my body, the glory of God that appears as fruitage, harmony, success, and abundance in my life. Of mine own self, separate and apart from that divine grace, I am nothing more than a withering branch that is cut off from the tree. But having been consciously reconciled to God and to man, I am now full and complete, living by the grace of God with access to all that God is and all that God has. Let us be still on that phrase. Having been consciously reconciled to God and to man, I am now full and complete, living by the grace of God, with access to all that God is and all that God has. Abiding now in the Spirit, letting the Spirit of God abide in you, recognize the transcendental being within you. This transcendental being, you have access to all that God has. The moment you recognize this transcendental presence within you, you are not a human being living with a human mind. Nor are you living in a human body. Beginning to recognize the nothingness of mortality. In yourself and your fellow man. By so doing, you are declaring God is all. God is one. God is the only being where the human race appears to be. Only God is. That is your reconciliation with Source. As this truth crystallizes in consciousness, that is Christhood realized. That is knowing I and the Father are one. Declared, I am one with Source, and in that oneness I am one with all human, animal, vegetable, and mineral worlds, and the worlds beyond. I am at one with the consciousness of every child of God who has ever existed from the beginning of time. And with every child of God who will come into expression until the end of time. This is your heritage as Son of God. That separates you from mortality and unites you consciously with your source. The light of Christ unites you with infinite intelligence and power. With the one life. And you see at last that Christ returned to earth after crucifixion, appearing to man, was stating that I am the life of God, which is eternal. And this life is the life of all men. The demonstration of eternal life, which can never be separated from God or interrupted or destroyed, was made for you and I and all who walk this earth. This union, this oneness, restores direct impartation from God to you. Comes in many ways. You can hear God speak. You can feel God's guidance without speech. You can witness God's manifestation. But not while you are living as a human being. Only when you are living as Christ, because God speaks, acts, and manifests through Christ in you. False prophet, said the Master. He was teaching you to go direct to God for impartations. A teacher guides you to Christ because Christ is your name, and Christ unites you with Source. Christ opens you to the impartations of God without an intermediary. And the false prophet says, listen to me, not to Christ within yourself. I could say much more on that subject. And I will if you write me, but it is not necessary in this talk. Do not let the blind lead you. God is ready to speak to you direct. And only only the Antichrist is trying to win your attention away from those direct impartations. Apparently, we have a subject far too big for this lesson, and we may have to continue it next time or many more times. But I can assure you that by Easter of 1988, we will not be celebrating the death and resurrection of Christ. We will be celebrating the birth of Christ in you, the renewal of your awareness of Christ, and your transition from mortality to immortality. I would like to suggest that on our Saturday and Sunday meditations, 2 p.m. California time, every Saturday, every Sunday, 2 p.m. California time, your subject be, I am the eternal Christ of God. There's a fairly good meditation on this at the beginning of this talk. You could use that as a guide. And also, we can practice it now because identity should be not something that you have to think about, but something that is as normal as breathing. Who you are should be at the tip of your consciousness and on every layer of your consciousness, so that who you are not will not be accepted by word, deed, or thought. Let's see if we can find this inner Christ. To be one with Source, you must live where the Source is. And to be Christ, you must live where the kingdom of Christ is. To eat the bread and drink the wine of Christ, be Christ. Let us not flee to the northwest. Let us be Christ wherever we are. Knowing ourselves.